Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
What's this thing about Fonzie?
There's a report that he's he agreed terms with Real Madrid to join there this summer.
Yeah.
I don't know how legitimate the sources are, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Would it surprise you? Anyone here? We know that Real's interested. He hasn't signed a deal with Bayern, and if Bayern are going to sell, they've got to sell this summer, right? Otherwise, they're losing for free.
You imagine how good Real Madrid's going to be with all these guys and how young they are. Vinicius Jr., if not Mbappe goes there, Alphonso Davies goes there, you're Bellingham.
It's stupid.
It's ridiculous.
Shumani.
One thing, if I was a right back knowing I was playing against Real Madrid, I'd probably pull my hamstring on a Friday. Knowing you got Mbappe and Davies coming at you.
You know what, though? Okay, let me ask you this then, Jimmy. So before the original Galactico era, you know, when they got the biggest names in the world, the Figos, Zidanes, Beckhams, they were obviously very good, but it didn't really reach the heights that was expected. It didn't really gel.
Yeah.
Is this different?
I think so, because with this group, you've got young footballers with longevity for them to be together a long time, right?
Yeah.
You're talking a number of years that this team can grow. And I think they're building the right team with this group that they're going after and all these youngsters. They want a winning team for a long time. That's what they're going for.
It's no surprise that Ancelotti said, thanks Brazil, but no thanks. I'm going to stay here a little bit longer.
Yeah, right?
Imagine my God.
Oh, yeah. I'll stay.
Yeah. I like the project. I like the long-term plans. Yeah. It's something. It really is. I mean, it'd be fun to watch for sure. As much as unfair as it might seem, it's going to be fun as hell to watch. The pace on that team is just going to be beyond anything else I think we've probably ever seen before. It's crazy. They should win everything. They should win everything. But hey, we've heard that before, right? It's not that easy, is it, to build superstar-laden teams? Just put the best players, right, on the team. That's how you build a good team, right? Easy. It isn't always that easy.
Well, they seem to have a past record of doing it.
Mm. Chelsea are trying it with a limited success.
Yeah.
Hey, they got to a cup final, Craig.
Yeah. Spent $1 billion to get beat by a youth team.
Did you see the Gary Neville quote? Billionaire bottle jobbers.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. What was the actual word he used? He used, where is it? I've got it here written down somewhere. Well, it was there. Now I've lost it, of course. Anyway, yeah, it was something. By the way, is this Footy Prime the podcast? In case you've just stumbled upon it on your Apple or Spotify or wherever you find your podcasts. Craig Forrest is here. Jimmy Brennan, Jeff Cole, Dan Wong. I'm James Sharman. No Dubs today. Dubs is too busy for us, apparently. Actually, we fired her.
We had the summit. We had the summit. We all came to a decision that she's fired.
Yeah. After her terrible behavior at the summit. What a Dubs is on a UEFA course. UEFA course this Monday, as she is once a month for the coming few months. But by the summit, by the way, the summit, I think people have seen the videos. It's on our website, We Are Footy Prime. Got some videos up there in our social feeds. I think it was a success. We accomplished some things, as well as raging hangovers the next day. Do you concur?
Two for two. you still, sorry, I think absolutely a success. I think just having our face-to-face agreements makes a huge difference than any of this virtual stuff. So I really appreciated all of us being in the same room together, which was great. The other thing I need to know is, what does bottle jobber mean? I don't know. What does that
mean? It may not be in the exact quote, but bottle job means you choke artist.
Oh.
So they spent £1 billion or whatever it is, and they're still choking. That's what Gary Neville called them. Yeah. And Craig, is it fair? Because listen, this is a young Chelsea team who got to a cup final sooner than we thought they would. We know how crazy their season's been, but they lost to a Liverpool team that finished with 6 academy boys on the pitch and 7 played in that game overall. They were the kids of Liverpool. And by the end of the match, Chelsea had nothing left, nothing to offer, as Liverpool lifted their first trophy, maybe not the last of the season.
Brilliant. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I could see why Klopp was so emotional actually about it and saying it was one of the, well, didn't he say it was like most impressive trophy that he's ever won because of the kids, and that kids don't win anything? They forgot to tell him about that. Amazing. And that's going to get a lot of play, obviously. And, you know, Chelsea, with all the money they spend, it's always going to come back to bite them a little bit. But forget about that. I thought Liverpool was absolutely brilliant.
Can you tell a lot now, like, from that Liverpool team, that the future's bright? Because often you see these kids, you know, various teams. I won't call them flash in the pans, but they come out, they play some big games, then you never really hear of them again. Have you seen enough from that performance to think that some of these kids actually are legitimate and are going to work their way into that first team?
Yeah, you never know, you know. You really don't. Some of these kids are showing up at school this morning. Get their schools with their backpacks on, and you know, yeah, there's no guarantees. We've seen some bright players at that age before break in and not necessarily make the grade, but they'll be professional footballers somewhere.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I think when you look at this Liverpool squad right now, and yeah, sure, they do have an awful lot of injuries, but it goes to show you that the depth that they have in this team and that next generation that's coming through. And they are building something very, very special there at Liverpool to have what they have right now. And it's amazing to see just the older, experienced players that they have, these younger guys that are coming through right now. They seem to have nurtured them the right way, developing them the right way. And it's just, it just feels like Liverpool is from top to bottom, a true footballing club with a great environment at the moment.
Yeah, why the hell would Klopp leave? Jeez, he's handing the keys over to someone, be it Xabi Alonso or whoever, who have not only a really very good starting 11 right now, but also very bright future as well, with some hungry young kids, you know, champing at the bit, I should say. Sorry. So that bugs me. You know, it's one of those things. Champing is champing at the bit. People get it wrong when they say chomping at the bit. It's a bit like Uncharted and Unchartered, right? Uncharted territory is uncharted, not uncharted. Anyway, that's not really relevant to this conversation. but you look at some of these names. There's some of these names, Connor Bradley, right? Once again, I mean, he's establishing himself there, and it's going to give them a lot of flexibility with Trent. Coming off the bench, players like Bobby Clark and James McConnell and Jaden Danz and Gerald Kwanza. I mean, Jesus Christ. By the end of the match, Craig, I mean, this is a Chelsea team. Like, it's a young, young team. They're very expensive, but they're young. But by the end, they were kind of the broken down veterans who just couldn't keep up with the kids, right? It's that new generation. We've got 18-year-olds. You've got 21-year-olds. You know, you're the old over-the-hill veterans.
You know, Jamie Redknapp made a good comment I thought it was very interesting about Chelsea and some of their long-term contracts, you know, 6-7 year contracts for people, and how that doesn't really add up because it's too comfortable for them. Some of their best performers are guys that with contracts coming up in the next year or two, but the ones with 6-7 years, that's a, he's got a point that they could be too comfortable.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, is that a case? Jimmy, have you seen that in the room? Players are complacent because of the security they've been given?
Well, I've never seen anybody get a 7-8 year contract.
No, exactly.
Never.
And you won't now because it's been banned.
No, but I think they've stole that idea from the North American contract, those hockey deals, those long-term deals that were heavy. What was it, heavy at the end and lighter at the beginning, or vice versa, whatever it was, just to make sure that they got their money, but spread out. And yeah, you're right, Greg. I agree with Redknapp. I think it can lead to complacency, people just being too comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, not worrying too much about their performance because they've got this security for the next 7-8 years that they're going nowhere. And if they are going somewhere, you're paying me up.
Wasn't it called cap circumvention in hockey? And they signed guys to, like, I think Kovalchuk signed like a 14-year deal. And I think whoever it was who had him are still paying that deal. And he retired like 6 years ago.
Sharms, that's cap circumcision.
Oh,
that's what they did with me when I was a child.
Ooh, that's uncharted.
They lopped off that little skin part. It's
that's what it is.
Formerly religious.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I also wanted to jump in. One of our listeners, one of my buddies, Richard Pansineau out of Ottawa, he goes, I was listening to the Klopp-Tuchel pod, our pod, obviously. And he said, I believe the reason Klopp is leaving Liverpool is they're trying to do a Netflix-style all-access. He wants no part of it. FSG doing it with the Red Sox, too. And then I looked at, like, did some research, and they're in negotiations with Fenway Sports Group to do this. Can you imagine if that actually, because they're trying to do it with the Red Sox too, right? Can you imagine if that would be, look, I don't want to, this is not something I want, and they don't care because it's all about the monetization and the brand lift that they get from this. That'd be really, like, that's a great little twerky theory. Could be a full conspiracy theory, but it's still a good one.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think,
lean into it, Craig.
Well, we've already got him managing Canada in 2026.
Well, you have, Craig. That was your rumor. No, I mean, listen, Pep did it and Mourinho did it, and there's always a team. Most years there's one. I don't think there was last season. But, I mean, I can see why a manager wouldn't want it. The last time Liverpool did it was, I think, Brendan Rodgers did it, and it was interesting. Wasn't the greatest, but wouldn't that be a great one though? Next year though, new manager, this wave of young talent coming through. You still got some of the veterans there, you know, that mix. It might be a really interesting documentary, and I see why FSG have got to find ways to be creative to make money and get their brand out there. They can't compete with City, they can't compete with Chelsea in that front. United, right? They do it a different way, so I see why they would want to do it.
I think Klopp would thrive in there. One of those types of scenarios.
Unless he's just sick of it all. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, he did say he was tired. He's just needs some time off. You got to think as well, even when he was at Dortmund and he was winning championships there and it was go, 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 go. You end up going to Liverpool, the pressure and what he's done with that club. I mean, that is just head down and working your ass off to get the success that he's had at Liverpool. You know, and he probably does mentally. He's just probably drained and fatigued, and he just needs a little break and a step away from the game. And there's no doubt, I don't think it'd be too long before he gets lured back in, because you can only step away from the game for so long, especially individuals like that.
But this is the summer to be a free agent, right? Or to be looking for a new job. This is the summer. You got Bayern Munich looking for a manager. You got Barcelona looking for a manager. Maybe Manchester United. Maybe there's some big clubs looking for managers. Even Leverkusen, right? If Xabi Alonso moves to where it's going to be, that's a really very good team. Could be German champions looking for a new manager.
You know, if I'm Liverpool, right? I would be trying to look at it in a different light, because we've seen many times where a manager has built a culture within an organization and created a championship, environment for these players. And then when they do leave, the next manager that comes in doesn't continue that winning way, and they end up failing. And it's always hard to step in the boots of somebody like that, whether it be a Ferguson, or now it's going to be a Klopp, or these or a Pep when he leaves. It's like, it's hard, because a manager that comes in, they want to put their own stamp on it, but they don't really understand what the culture is that those individuals have built. And sometimes they try to change things, put their own stamp on things, and it just doesn't work at all. And if I'm Liverpool, I'm in absolute panic mode right now, thinking we're where we want to be as a club. We've got kids coming through. We've got older guys. We're winning things. There's a great buzz around the city. I would be thinking, okay, let's do what we can to keep Klopp, but in a different capacity. Klopp, you're going to be a consultant of this club, and I don't give a fuck. We'll see him once every 3 months. Or you just phone in from wherever you are in the world, knowing that we still got you hooked in with us, so that if you do want to come back in a year, then you're more than welcome. The door is open. Like, doing something, trying to keep him around or involved with that club at a certain capacity, so that
he's going
to
be on a beach.
Yeah. Well, fuck. Call. Call us.
Oh, okay. I get that. But if you're the new manager coming in as a club, don't you want to give him the keys and say, listen, the club is now yours. Forget about the skeletons in the closet there, or the huge presence just sitting there looming over the club. How hard would it be for Xabi Alonso, as an example, to take over Liverpool, knowing that Jurgen Klopp's sitting in the boardroom there, looking down and judging him? Well, you know, I think David Moyes had that difficulty at United with Ferguson, who's still very visible at the club.
Yeah. And his approach was different too, though, right? He tried to change things a little bit, David Moyes. And, I mean, obviously, with Alonso, I think if he comes in, if I'm him, I'm talking with Klopp almost every day. Mm. What did you do? You know, how did you get them where they are today? I don't want to change the culture too much. I want to continue the success that you've had and what you're building here. And maybe I can just touch things up a little bit to try to improve certain areas, but I don't want to come in here and change everything.
If you're Alonso, Craig, are you already, though, doing your homework? Whether it's Liverpool, whether it's Bayern Munich, wherever it's going to end up, you're paying very close attention to the jobs available and those teams. So when you do accept that job, or you present your plan to the board when you're going for that interview, you're actually mm-hmm. doing just that. You're not just saying, yeah, I'd like this job. You're saying, this is what I'm going to do with this group of players.
Yeah. No. He'd be silly not to.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? Learn the inside and outs of whatever club he potentially could go to. He's a smart man. He's doing really, really well. He'd be a good replacement. But Jimmy's right. Those are big boots to fill for anybody who's going to take that, especially if he goes out on a high.
Yeah. I wouldn't be going to Bayern, I tell you that for free. They are trigger happy, those boys. No chance.
They are.
And they need a new left back. Yeah, they do. Who was pretty important the last few years. Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating summer, I think. Back to the game, though. I mean, it was, Craig, there's nil-nils, right? Which, you know, it's better to watch paint dry. And then there's those kind of games. As a goalkeeper, watching Kelleher in particular and what he did, it was just one of those games that the commentators kept saying, it's just not destined to see a goal in this match. And in the end, there was one at the end, but it was incredible. Incredible 90 plus minutes, wasn't it?
Oh, it really was. I think somebody said that, you know, it was one of the best nil-nils they've seen. Certainly we've seen some good ones in the past, but that was amazing. I'm not sure how they didn't score. And the goalkeeper played brilliantly well, and player of the match. It's a weekend of goalkeepers. That's Sean Johnson for Toronto FC, also man of the match.
Wow. Yeah, he was good, wasn't he?
Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a bit. I want to just close out this game. Poch, Tino, he said that his team really tired in that match, and he was actually hoping for penalties in that second half of extra time, and that was what they were kind of playing for. Is that just purely a fitness thing? Is it a mental thing? Because I don't know. Liverpool looked, I mean, obviously young legs, right? Maybe that's what it was, but it's not like Chelsea are old. Well, you know, is that kind of down to fitness, or is it more of a mental fatigue, do you think, that cost them in the end?
Well, physically and mentally, it's a final. Would have taken a lot out of them. A lot of running. The schedule's coming at them thick and fast as well.
Yeah, you got to think as well, those young players, it's all adrenaline for them. They would have ran for days.
Well, I mean, that video today, you mentioned it, Craig, but I think it was it, who was it? Was it McConnell? I forget who it was now, being welcomed at his secondary school this morning. It was amazing. The whole school lined up applauding him and stuff, and he's walking through there with his backpack on. It's just, this is a kid at high school. He's just won the League Cup with Liverpool. I mean, oh, yeah. My God, pretty popular kid, I would think, today.
Do you think?
There's some Everton fans there, though. You know there are, right? Maybe some Tranmere Rovers fans.
He's going to get laid no matter what.
You said it, Craig. We knew that was coming.
That's all he's thinking about. He's like, well, he's got a trophy, but he's like, doors opening up here.
Yeah.
I remember Rio Ferdinand saying, I couldn't pull a muscle in high school. And then all of a sudden he becomes a pro athlete. He's like fucking on the front cover of GQ.
Listen, we're missing Dubs right now, Iwanga, because we had a little conversation about this on the dark web earlier this morning. And comments were made, and I don't think Dubs took them well. But it's a reality of the situation.
Yeah. Dubs has a reputation for being a little bit puerile there. Yes.
Puerile. You know she's going to listen to this, right?
She does. She does listen. As we said at the summit, we should listen to our podcast.
Made that very clear. Have you guys listened to podcasts since the summit? Have you gone back on? No.
Oh, yeah.
Go do it. Did you watch game tape?
Episode 10 of 500 was awesome.
Yeah.
Did you watch game tape when you were playing of your own performances?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We had someone sit down and walk us through it and break it down for us.
Do you want me to sit down with you, Jimmy, and listen to a podcast? Point out where you're good and where you weren't good.
Just cut the video worse, break it down.
Nothing worse than when you had to go watch tape and you had a nightmare.
Oh, God.
And you know it's coming. It's on the video and you know, the game's going on and, you know, like, oh, fuck, here it comes.
Yeah. And do you remember? Hey, I'll never forget it. And then they do the pause. Just where you're about to fuck up. And then there's silence. And everybody's looking at the screen. And then the manager just takes a minute because he knows he's coming right at you. And you're just sitting there going, oh, for fuck's sake. And then they turn, they look at you, you make eye contact. And it's, what the fuck was that? And what were you thinking? Well, I don't know. Game happened so fast.
Things were happening so fast.
Were those sessions like, you know, when you're at school and you're younger and someone starts the giggles and you just cannot control yourself, right? And you're just looking at your feet and you're just like squeezing your fists. You don't want to be caught. You can't control the laughter when someone's getting in shit. Was that the same situation in those rooms?
Oh, sometimes, yeah. Especially if it was like a little bit of a blooper and they put that video up.
Oh, yeah. The other lads are taking full advantage of it. Until it's their turn.
Especially if it was an own goal.
Yeah.
The manager be rewind, play. Look at that fucking finish. Isn't that beautiful? Too bad it's on your own net.
Do you see the own goal in the Newcastle Arsenal game? It was unfortunate. Sven Botman. Arsenal spanked the Magpies 4-1. Yeah. Saka again. I think he's scored in 5 straight games now.
They look good.
Man, goals are alive now, Jimmy, with Arsenal, it seems. You know, remember we had those shows and we're saying they've got to get a number 9. They're just missing number 9. And they probably still do, but they found a way, right? They're a different looking team right now. They went away on a little break, apparently. When they had that week off, they did go for a little break, as most clubs do. But they've come back and they look re-energized.
They do. Look, I watched that match, and the way that they were playing and just the rhythm in their game and the confidence, it was unbelievable. At times, they just picked Newcastle apart. Just picked them apart. Newcastle didn't have any answers. Now, we keep saying, you know, there's going to be a point when Newcastle starts spending their money and then they're going to be really competing. But, you know, I think that would be a match that Newcastle's one are going to put behind them and look on to the next game, because I thought Arsenal were terrific all over the park, just dominated them, especially in that final third. Their movement, the creativity was just bang on.
Craig, it's so easy, right, to look at a season in these little chunks, and these narratives form over a run of games, and Arsenal's no different. We looked at Arsenal, oh man, they can't score goals, you know, over like the course of about 10 games, they struggled. But that means nothing over the big picture, right? Over the course of a season, teams have dips, peaks and valleys, right? As a player, was it the same way? We caught up in a small little group of games, or were you able to look at the big picture saying, yeah, we'll get out of this funk?
Yeah, no. What, individually and as a team? Yeah. Yeah, there's always times when you're fighting with your game. There's something that you're trying to battle through. And same as a team, it's always like that. You always got to be prepared for it. I mean, look at a guy like David Moyes, who has generally, if you look at the whole sample size, he's done very well at West Ham. But every few months, the knives are out. They want him out. And it's not changing right now at the moment. That's where they sort of sit at the moment, too. So it's always something you know is around the corner.
Yeah, Moyes is a great example of that, actually. So when you guys play, did you break it up the season into chunks? Like, let's get through this four or five games. I know in hockey, a lot of coaches will break it into seven games, because the playoffs are seven-game series, right? So they look at seven-game chunks. Let's try and win four of these seven games type thing for a mental thing. Is it the same kind of way in football?
Yeah, we used to do it. We used to have that as well. We would have like the month schedule up, and we would sit down, especially when we were at Norwich. We used to do it a lot, and that was the year that we got promoted. We put it up there, and collectively, the manager would come in and say, okay, what'd you think? Realistic targets, how many points can we get? You know, we've got, you know, teams that you're playing in that are the top six and mid-table, bottom table. Like, how many points we're getting? And you look and say, okay, there's six games this month, and yeah, I think we can win four, get two draws on the road. And those were the targets. And it was great, because if you got it right, you come in on the Monday morning, and it was, yes, big check mark. All right, we picked up three. But it was we did it throughout a season a few times at different clubs, and it was just setting yourself goals and targets that were realistic for that month.
Mm-hmm. Some managers would do that, yeah. Yeah. And then you had other ones that wouldn't. They would just tell you not to look at the table or just concentrate on the next match and go through the process.
I mean, that whole thing, just worry about the next match. You know, we've played this one, let's move on. It sounds great, but it ain't that easy, is it? Surely. It must be for certain players, perhaps, who perhaps don't care quite as much, but for most players, just to forget about what happened and move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Can't see it.
It's tough. Like, look at a team like Luton, teams like that are going to just lose sections of games, four, five, six in a row. And you just got to keep walking in and out of that dressing room and trying to pick up 3 points the next week. And it's like, okay, do it again next week. Keep going. Yeah. You can't stop going, because your goal for a team like that is to finish 17th, and potentially you can do it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's, you can't have that mentality where you capitulate and think, okay, that's it, it's over. You've got to keep going through. And you've got to understand where you are as a club and a team. You're not competing against those the bigger clubs, because financially you can't. And you were going into that season going, we're the underdogs. It's us against them. You know, let's try to just continue to pick up points, upset teams. And when you do upset those bigger teams, it's like them winning a championship, because it's 3 points that are so important for you. And it's only small margins that's going to keep you in that top flight. And I think Luton can do it. I genuinely do. It'd be interesting to see what happens come the end of the season. And then Ross Barkley as well has been linked with Man U.
I know. He's having a renaissance. Talk about comeback player of the year. This talk about him getting on the plane to Germany. Yeah. At least having a close look at him. He's played that well for Luton so far this season. It's
crazy. He's been very, very good.
It's interesting, like playing for a big, big, successful club and then the smaller clubs. It's a different mentality entirely, like you just said there. Pep was asked about that this past weekend. They beat Bournemouth just 1-0, right? They weren't great, but they found a way. He says, so when people say you play in the same conditions in the Premier League, no, we don't have the same equality. We have much more games than the rest to play, and this is a tough place to come. They're a fantastic team. They won 3-0 at Old Trafford. We demand too much of our players, but they respond. I know people say they earn a lot of money, but the schedule is too much, honestly. But business must go on, and it surprises me every time how we are still there. They have an incredible character and are so competitive. Even when they are tired, they give extra. Mm-hmm. He's backing his players there, right? He's also whining a little bit because, yeah, obviously there's a lot of games, but his squad compared to Luton, for example, I mean, Pep. It's not all bad. Or Bournemouth, yeah, in this case, right? But he makes valid points there, I think, though. I mean, it's his players, that mental strength for them to win what, how many is it now under Pep? 5 Prems or whatever it is? A treble last year. All those games and still to be very much in the hunt for all these trophies this year. I think it's extremely impressive.
Really impressive. It's one thing to have the talent. It's another thing to have that hunger to keep doing it week in, week out.
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's Wonga. It's not a time. Oh, it's got to be. I don't know who it is.
Time for a treat.
It was like serve the budgie, get the budgie fed in its cage.
You know, going back to what you were saying there, Shams, is like, for me, yeah, you get what Pep's saying, but Pep's squad is ridiculous. The amount of players that they have, the quality of players that they have. They've got their starting 11 and then 12 to say 24. Every single one of those players could play in any other team in the Premier League. Whereas you've got a Bournemouth or a Luton, you've got those 11 players that you're relying pretty much on week in and week out. And then from their 12 to 24, they're not really going to many other clubs, are they? They're scraping the barrel. So he's really got a squad there of players. His whole squad are fantastic, remarkable players that he can change his squad. Yeah, he's got Champions League and all this, and he's got a lot more games, but he's got the quality that he can change his squad, whereas a Luton can't rely a lot of the time on their bench or other players within their squad to get them results. So they have to rely on the players that they have. Maybe 1 to 14 that they're really focusing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look at the bench for City, right? This past weekend, Kyle Walker.
Can play
Jack
anywhere.
Grealish.
Anywhere.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Anywhere.
Julian Alvarez.
Anywhere.
Jeremy Doku, you know, I mean, this is the bench.
Oh my god, it's the bench.
We're not, you know, breaking news here. Everyone knows this. It's just, I think, now and again, important to remind ourselves just how deep that team is.
And but, then, even if you read the healthy scratches, you'd be gone. You can play exactly.
Not good enough to make the match day squad here. Yeah, but I mean, listen, Pep at the same time has the ability to and the great managers to keep these massive egos. No matter, you can't deny a player's right to have a massive ego when you're that good. You have to have, but he balances it, right? Could Rob Edwards, I mean, let's fast forward 5 years. Rob Edwards is doing such a great job at Luton, right? A legitimate good young manager. Craig, is there a step up where he could manage a team like Man City, do you think? Do you foresee that? It's too early to tell, isn't it?
It's pretty early to tell. Yeah. Obviously a very, very good coach, and you'll get his opportunity one day. But I think we talked about this with Brentford and their manager and clubs going after them. Sometimes you're better off just sticking where you are for a while.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are out there, Ipswich, which is McKenna as well.
Don't jump too soon.
Yeah. Don't jump too soon.
So, but Ipswich, McKenna. But McKenna, I mean, he wants Premier League football at this point, right, you would think. And there's a good chance he'll get it.
Well, with Ipswich or just generally?
Well, Ipswich. I mean, I know they've had a bit of a slump more recently, right? But they're in contention.
Yeah, they are in contention. They're solid in the playoff spot. They could have used Leicester beating Leeds because Leicester are going to win the division, in my opinion.
Yeah. Leicester lost to Leeds?
Yeah.
Did they? Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked at the championship table for a while.
Yeah,
there's parachute
teams all around Ipswich.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
a lot of money. A lot of money in and around those teams with parachutes, yeah, compared to Ipswich, who's, I don't know if their wage bill is, I don't know, like something 20 million or something.
Right now, so let's see here. So Leicester is in first place, 78 points, six up on Leeds in second, who are tied with Ipswich. Of course, the top two get automatic promotion. Southampton's playing very good as well. I think they may have dropped points this weekend. But yeah. West Brom, Hull, even Norwich, Jimmy, yeah, on the periphery of that playoff spot.
Apologies, guys. My floor guy just showed up, so I've been running back and forth because they didn't tell me they were going to show up. Did we talk about Everton? Did you see that, Charms? Check on your phone. Everton's points for the unfair play has gone from 10 points to 6 points. Ooh. So that changes. We're talking about relegation and promotion. That changes everything. Like that it's extra huge. 4 points, it's huge.
Oh my God.
So it says exclusive Everton points deduction for breach of Premier League profitability and sustainability rules reduced from 10 points to 6 after independent review.
So that, I believe, busts Everton up to 15th place now and 25 points. Is this up? Assuming the table I'm seeing now is updated, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're 5 points clear. Now, that being said, they're also on the hook for more charges, though, right?
Jesus Christ. Are they really? I forgot about that.
Yeah. Forest, too.
But this is for drug dealing. That's what those charges are.
Different charges.
Cocaine and heroin, importation, export.
But I mean, listen, 4 points is enormous. But if they get another 10 from the next charges, oh, man, what a mess. What a mess at the bottom there. Just trying, you know what? Each game at a time, boys.
Yeah.
Don't imagine, worry about
Daichi and the staff. They're like, yes, we're all right. Perfect. 2 days later. Yeah. Another 6 points deducted.
So, Sean, we got good news and some bad news. The good news is we've had our point deduction reduced to 6 points.
That's fucking great. Oh, that's amazing.
But the bad news, next Monday we find out about the next charges. Jesus.
Fuck.
They're going to move up and down the table quicker than anybody else without even playing.
Look at Mario Netz.
Oh, fuck, we're 20th. Oh, we're 17th. Oh, no.
They're like in an elevator with a five-year-old.
Yeah.
Hitting all the buttons. Up, down, up, down, up, down.
That's got to be tough, eh? To deal with, like, to play in those conditions. Like, you just don't know what's coming next.
No.
But I guess you got to take the good news when it comes, because that's a massive 4 points for them right now if there's no more deductions.
They drew this weekend, by the way, didn't they? United lost to Fulham.
Ugh.
I guess they are shit, Jimmy. You're right.
Oh, man. Unbelievable.
What is that, 96th minute? Something like that?
Yeah, it will be. Lovely goal, too.
Yeah, Fulham ended up scoring, what was it, in the 65th minute, up 1-0, and they were holding on for dear life. Man U was just throwing everything at them, but the kitchen sink. You know, it was just wave after attack, and Maguire finds himself up in the box. They were just throwing everybody up there, and he ends up sneaking one in the 89th minute. The crowd get into it. They're pushing on, and you're thinking, oh, I tell you what, Fulham could break here. They've got everybody back defending. And then the 97th minute, Fulham break forward and punish them and end up walking away 2-1 winners. Yeah, what a match. It was actually really enjoyable. You know, I was going back and forth between the Forest match and the Man U match. And you're just looking. And it's like what I said before, you know, with this Man United squad, with where they want to be and the teams that are in front of them, you know, what is it?
Arsenal scoring 62 goals and all the teams scoring 55 goals, 61 goals. Man United only scored 38 goals. They're struggling big time to finish. So if you're not scoring your goals, you're not picking up the points, you're not winning your matches. You know, and that's where they're struggling right now. They just can't find the back of the net.
It's funny, Jimmy, you were talking about channel surfing, and I just want to give props to our friends at Fubo, because I channel surfed, I caught that goal and then surfed over to another match, and there was no commercial. Now I was on DAZN trying to do the same thing during Champions League, and you can't channel surf because they drop in a 30-second ad at the beginning of when you're trying to channel surf. And I'm like, well, there's a point. I want to jump back and forth. So DAZN, this is a fair critique from an old company man, freelancer, but stop doing that. You can, anyway.
On that note, it's time now for a commercial break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And we're back.
Well, that was good at home. Was that irony?
No, that was synergy.
Synergy, was it?
Yes.
Yeah? It was. Bank account?
Yes.
that Fulham, though, I mean, they were missing Poligno and Willian and Jimenez to start that match. I mean, it wasn't full-strength Fulham, who I don't know what they are this year. They look great 1 week, and then they look terrible the next week. But a big win for them. Villa smashed Forest 4-2.
Yeah.
Villa looked very good in that one. Ollie Watkins, man, is it fair to say the breakout player of the season? He was good last year.
Yeah.
But he's been outstanding, assists and goals this year.
So yeah. This is the thing with an Ollie Watkins, all of a sudden, he obviously is on the top tier Premier League radar. But is he already, his future is made like an Ivan Toney having a great year with Brentford last year or the last 2 years. Is this guy, because he's put in his work with Villa, is he now gone? Like it's basically a given that he'll be gone somewhere else?
I think they're big enough to hang on to him a little bit longer. Right? Villa's underrated, I think, in Canada, Craig. They're a massive club. They're not obviously Liverpool, Chelsea, United, just from a success standpoint, money standpoint. Mm-hmm. But they're a big club with prestige.
Very well supported club. Yeah. But somebody came along with an £80 million offer.
I guess Grealish left, right? For the same kind of situation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But if you're Ollie Watkins, he's in a nice situation. He probably wants Champions League football at some point, and they might get it this year. It might depend on that winger. If they can get Europe, I think they're going to get European football in some regard. But he's young enough that I think he stays there a little bit longer and then waits that move, because he's going to be good enough for that big jump at some point.
So what you're saying is if they get Europa, it doesn't matter what level, just if they get Europa or...
Who knows? I can't get in the guy's head. I don't know. Europa would be a step up for him.
Right.
Yeah. I think he's going to want Champions League football. That's what most players do. And you're right, Sharms. I don't think people realize just how big of a club Aston Villa is. Aston Villa is a monster of a club. Really, really big club. And the football that they're playing, the brand is, for me, it's one of the best. I really enjoy watching them play, you know. And with Watkins, I mean, look, you can just see the confidence that he has in his play. I mean, 4 minutes into the match, they're already 1-0 up.
You know, it's a match, especially first half, that they just dominated. They were cruising, you know, and they've got players that just seem to be expressing themselves and playing a great brand of football. And it's very, very difficult, you know, as a manager to get a team so disciplined, yet still so creative and play with so much confidence. And he's done a remarkable job with Villa. I mean, look, Villa was up through, was it 3-0 in the 45th minute, then Forrest ended up grabbing a goal. And then maybe about 20 minutes in the second half, Forrest started getting on the front foot. Gibbs White ends up scoring a goal, you know, brings it back. And then, you know, Bailey was absolutely on fire for me. What a player he is. You know, we watched him in playing for Jamaica against Canada, and, you know, he wasn't even a fraction of what he's playing right now at Aston Villa. He is some player, by the way. And he was just terrorizing down that right flank, making it miserable for Forrest. And, you know, with his performance, he was rewarded in the second half as well. And, you know, in the end, Villa was comfortable winners 4-2 over Forrest in that match. And you can see why, you know, as a team that they're in the position that they are and fight for a Champions League spot. It's because they are playing a terrific brand of football, and they can score goals. What are they, 56 goals now? They're sitting at fourth mm-hmm. place Champions League spot. They're just oozing with confidence.
Douglas Luiz is proper footballer too, isn't he?
Too.
Yeah. What a player. What a
player.
Yeah. No, they're legit. They had a little bit of a wobble recently, but they're back in there. Hey, we had a teammate fight in Wolves against Sheffield United. Jack Robinson and Vinny Souza getting into it on the pitch there for the Blades. Good to see you now and again, eh, Wonga? We know you enjoy that.
Oh, it was so much fun seeing the guys with the stripes just pushing at each other. And then there's the peacemaker. I didn't see who the peacemaker was, but he was the most, you know, they come in trying to create peace, but they grabbing one guy and pushing the other one away. And it's already over by the time he's doing it. But now he has to, like, make a point of kind of giving the guy shit a little bit. It was great to see.
We've all been a peacemaker, right? You know, when your buddies get into it and they're friends. I get so angry. So you saw that, like, they were pissed off, like, for fuck's sakes, boys, this is embarrassing. Grabbing them, yanking them away, like, Jesus. Great for us to watch, but as a teammate, it must drive you crazy. Or do you just laugh? I don't know. You tell me. Jimmy, you were involved in it once. You were one of those assholes.
Yeah, of course, because, like, you know, it's frustration. You know, it's what's at stake. You know, you need to win games. You want that win bonus. You know, there's a lot to play for in these games, and there's a lot of motion, a lot of testosterone. You know, and if things aren't going well, the fans are on you, and you're giving the ball away. Players start having a little pop at each other. You know, and for me, it's at times it's because you fucking care. You care, and you're demanding the best out of one another. And when things aren't going right, you're getting called out. And yeah, it might look bad at times, but, you know, for me, if I'm a manager, I'll be like, yeah, okay, it's not the right thing to do, but at least I can see you got a little bit of fight in your belly. Right?
Yeah, holding each other accountable.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. So, Sharms, do you think Jimmy or Craig listened to a podcast today? Holding them accountable. Craig, when you go and take your 60-minute shower, just put on a couple shows. By the time you get in there, you know, go for a walk. Listen to Footy Prime. Jimmy?
They keep asking us to listen for us. They must not be thinking much of us at the moment here.
No, it's great. We're very satisfied. But
there must be something going on here that they're pointing out. They're just not saying it. They're just telling us to go listen.
There's something they must notice.
Well, yeah, we need to update you guys. Sharma, you're going to say something, but I need to update you on the top three things you shouldn't do for a professional to work in a professional situation. And the first is Business Insider. I'm using what they're talking about, and they say don't overshare. So that's one of the things that they say. And I was thinking, we know way too much about each other.
We do.
From, you know, that Craig and his dishwasher, Jimmy, you know, Jimmy owns part of the moon. Sharms is unsatisfactory in the bedroom with his wife.
Did I say that? How drunk was I on Thursday?
Well, this is that leads me to number two. What Business Insider says, it says, don't overstay and drink. That was number two. And the third one, and this is problematic, and I've told you guys about this. Don't be too humble. Who knew? I knew the first two. Don't overshare. It's like gossiping about yourself. Don't stay and drink too much. It changes the dynamic. But number three is don't be too humble. Tell people what you want. Tell people what we need from them. People like straightforward context, and that's what you have to do. So there are your three tips from Business Insider, from an HR professional.
That's why we fired Dubs, right? She's too humble.
Oh, my God. Way too humble. Yeah. And not talented at all.
No,
she's so untalented.
She is hammered as well. Hammered.
Yeah. Right. Hey,
remember her monkey?
Dancing.
Remember her chimpanzee?
I've got a video. I have video.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
It was a very good monkey.
But remember, I was leading her down. I felt like, Curious George and the man in the yellow hat. I'm the man in the yellow skin, but she walking with Curious George.
No, she was more orangutan because they're ginger,
oh,
right?
Oh, I love orangutans.
Me too. Yeah. They're my favorite monkeys.
Orangutan.
They have the highest human DNA, I believe, is the orangutan.
Oh,
I believe.
Yeah, they're
more
my faves.
Even more than the chimp.
Well, chimps have those, like, they've got, chimps have the red mist in them, right? They literally go a little berserk and eat faces sometimes.
Chimps aim for the face and the genitalia when they attack.
I can't believe Bubbles never went after Michael Jackson. Or maybe he did.
Maybe
that explains a lot. And that's why Michael needed all the face work.
It was a Bubbles incident.
It was he didn't want to admit it.
The orangutan looks like the Buddhas of the jungle.
Yeah,
they are.
The big belly.
You're right. Yeah. Very wise.
I like them.
Yeah.
Oh, and JC's got actually an orangutan sitting in a tub. As
an orangutan in a tub on my arm.
No, Jimmy, I'll say, JC, is that a monkey in a bath or something? And like, no, that's a Buddha on my arm. Wasn't that the conversation?
Mighty hairy hands you have.
And feet. Look, just like hands.
I have hairy palms.
We should get to some TFC and Montreal very briefly. Of course, we have our MLS pods later this week. Three questions for Montreal and TFC and MLS and Vancouver. Vancouver, of course, didn't play this weekend, but TFC drew the Supporter Shield winners, Cincinnati 0-0. Craig, a pretty decent showing, both going forward and defensively. It looked like a very different beast compared to what we saw week in and week out last season.
Yeah, I think if the supporters are looking for something positive, they got it. I think we clearly see that this team is going to be a different animal than last year. The addition of Richie Larea, I think, is excellent.
Yeah.
On both sides of the field, they were threatening. They defended well. Sean Johnson, probably the best match he's played as a... Fuck me. What the fuck?
That was Brennan.
Of course it was.
Oh, fuck. Keep going, Craig.
Yeah, no, Sean Johnson, best performance he's had, I think, in the Toronto FC jersey. He was excellent. And they weathered a bit of the storm. They looked tired at the end, but they put in a real shift. And you look at the squad, and you got to say that, I don't know, a lot of the pundits were putting TFC right down there near the bottom, because probably the last 3 years, but I honestly think that they've, you look at that side, they're going to be difficult to beat.
Well, I mean, this time last year, we're given preseason predictions for TFC, right? A lot of people had them being very strong and a deep cup run, right? And it's pretty much the same team this year. Very similar anyway. Yeah, there's some new faces, but it's relatively similar, Jimmy. Yeah. So perhaps us writing off TFC so soon was just that, too soon.
Well, it's still early. Sharms is still the first match of the season, right?
We didn't write them off.
I did.
Oh.
No. You did. But I thought they looked an awful lot better. They looked more organized. You know, they did have little spells there where they did look a little bit fatigued at times, like especially towards the end of the match. There, you seen a couple of players dropping. You hope Larea doesn't have an injury that's going to be keep him out for a while. Whether they rode him a little bit too long, I thought maybe after the 60th minute or so, maybe even before, they would have taken Richie off.
He looked good though, Jimmy. Though,
yeah, he looked great. He was involved. And Richie's the type of player. He's got to play on the edge. And I thought he was playing on the edge that match. You know, he wants to be aggressive all the time. And
you know, and getting in people's faces, which was, you know, good to see Richie back to his old ways. And I thought Long was good in the back with O'Neill. You know, they look good. Sean Johnson for me was a man of the match. He kept them in. He kept them in the game. He had some terrific saves. He was coming out big, brave. And one player that I did really like, and I thought I had a hell of a game, was Flores. I like him in the middle of the park. Yeah,
so aggressive, isn't he?
A little bit of bite. He covers a lot of ground. He was tracking runners, and I genuinely like him. You know, so I'll be for sure keeping an eye on that on him for this season, because he's an impact signing for me.
I love Jimmy. I loved Ozo in the first minute of the game, just getting stuck in there. Yeah. And as captain, it was extremely late tackle. He got a yellow card for it, but I liked it. You know, they have to change the way they're perceived by their opponents, because they rolled over last season too much last year, right? And just I think the captain getting stuck in early on, some people might criticize that. I like it myself. It's just, we're a different animal. Yeah, exactly, right? So we'll get into more TFC, obviously, on TFC 3 Questions, which we're recording on Wednesday. Dubs, I asked her for a quick synopsis of Montreal, who also drew 0-0 this weekend. Lively, engaged side right from the start as they began the match, creating a flurry of chances and played intentional football. New signings, Kakaro and Yankov, were influential the first half, but then Orlando pushed back in the second. Positive first game, lots to build on, and for a team that opens the season with 6 away matches, they claimed a point crucial. That's from our dearest Dubs, giving us a little rundown on her thoughts on Montreal. She'll be talking to Olivier Brett tomorrow for Montreal 3 Questions.
Amazing. And even more than that, we now found our new favorite player for Montreal.
Yes.
The good old Yankoff.
Mm-hmm.
So that guy slides right into Footy Prime with the hairy palms.
I just want to see Dubs get by a whole season using Yankov's name without being juvenile and immature.
In French and in English. Dubs is just too talented.
She was hard-guessing it this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Killing it with Patrice Bernier in French. Then she's on the English. Oh, my God. She's ubiquitous, that lady.
By the way, did you notice she wore the same shirt for 3 pods last week?
And she's only the one who would notice, though, right? Like, guys don't notice that.
No.
I didn't even think of mentioning that because I didn't notice.
It genuinely stressed her.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Dubs for us. Going to move on. Messi scored late last night. It's Miami. Drew, did you see? You did see. I know it was on the dark web. The Ronaldo gestures.
Oh, what a thing. Saudi
Arabia. Yeah. Well, just look it up. Maybe we'll try and put it on the blog if we can. That's an idea.
Yeah, let's
do
that.
Blog's for, right?
Yep. Get on the blog.
Let's give that a whirl. But yeah, it's quite amusing. He must hear the worst chants his whole career. I don't know why this particularly set him off.
Well, because it's about Messi.
Yeah, but he must hear that rival. Every game, though, doesn't he? You would think?
If you're the best player in the world, you don't care. You really, like, you shouldn't care about this stuff.
You shouldn't care, no.
And the fact that he worries about it all the time or reacts to it, it's that's puerile. That's childish.
Yeah.
Although the gesture, it was a long stroke.
Good for him, man. Really long stroke. Yeah. If it was a metaphor, he's killing it.
He's killing it. Yeah. Yeah. Like John
he's
Holmes.
He's fucking around corners, that guy. He's in another room.
Did El Nassau win or lose? I don't know. I don't care.
No. Women's Gold Cup, Canada 4-0.
Won again, through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Impressive.
Not a lot of resistance there from Paraguay.
No.
Yeah, I'm curious about this Gold Cup, actually. Just, you know, what is the depth of football and women's game in this region? We know who are good. We know Canada's good. We know the States are obviously good. We know Mexico's decent, but like, we want to see the next tier down, how they are.
Brazil? Well, I mean, it's got the South American teams too, right?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
So there's going to be some great matches, at least in the when it gets down to the eights, right? You know you're going to get some good matches with the final 8 teams, the knockout round.
We'll let Dubs get a little bit deeper on that, perhaps, in the next podcast.
Broadcasting next week.
next
every
week,
2 weeks. Yeah, I think we've decided every 2 weeks for the broadcast going forward.
All right. That's a lot of podcasts. We did so many last week, a lot again this week, but we'll get a little bit more organized, dropping at different times. We'll get there. We'll get there. But thank you for listening, though. They've been putting in some pretty good numbers, right, Wonga?
Yeah, exactly. We our TFC did was the highest ranked MLS three questions. Box to Box was number two. And then we've got a break into Quebec still. That's on the bottom rung right now.
We'll get there. I mean, I understand why. We don't haven't touched much Montreal over the years, right?
Exactly.
That's why we're doing it. It's also a CONCACAF Champions Cup week. Cavalry down 3-0. They're playing is it tomorrow or Wednesday?
I think they're Wednesday. Let me check.
Yeah, Wednesday. And also an FA Cup week this week as well. Midweek games in the FA Cup, which I don't like. I'm a purist.
What does that mean, a purist? It's supposed to be weekends only?
Yeah, I think
Saturdays.
Yeah, I understand there's so much football. You got to cram it in somehow, right? But anyway, that's just my old man shaking his fist at a cloud moment there. Anything else you want to get to?
Just our first community bet award. Community bet. Arsenal won. So it would be, I don't know if you have the tickets for our bet.
I'm looking
so
up right now.
Bet, community bet, Arsenal won. So thank you, everybody. We still have to pick our charity. But I think our Footy Prime Supporters Club is going to help us with that.
We're going to choose our favorite disease.
Yes, favorite disease. I think I think it needs a charity too, though, attached to it.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can just give to syphilis.
Most diseases have a charity. Is there a syphilis disease? is that your favorite one?
That's what you were saying. You said syphilis, gonorrhea, and there was type 2 diabetes. Was this right. one? God, why do I remember that? Was I?
Did you have them all?
Struggled through them all, Wonger.
Yeah.
Woo, well,
invested in penicillin.
Things. Well, you know, that's the thing.
Okay, so our Arsenal, we won that one, as you mentioned there. That paid us $6.95.
There you go.
From a $5 bet.
Yeah, so we made $1.95, right? Is that what you're saying?
We changed the world. Going to change the world for the charity.
It is. We lost the others, by the way. Obviously, I did not put in the supporters clubs because I forgot. Remember, that was a whole Thursday summit.
There was a lot going on, Sherms.
There was, but we lost in our parlay. We got 4 out of 6.
Oh, good. I'm not the only one with my Philadelphia Union pick.
No.
Who was the other?
You weren't.
It's got to be United and Fulham, right? Someone picked United.
Trying to see here. Okay, so we won the Wolves bet. I think that was JC, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. We lost Cruz Azul, Jimmy. We lost Cruz Azul.
Jimmy.
And Philly. We won Columbus Crew. We won Man City. And we won Bayern Munich.
Jimmy, it's you and me in the shit jar for the week until we make amends.
Yep. Yeah. But you, TonyBet.ca, get back on there. As mentioned, a big week for Canadian teams and in the FA Cup as well. And FootballTV.com/FootyPrime. Sign up. It's a busy one. Busy time of year. That's about it, right? Anything else?
Yeah, just a reminder, three questions with all the MLS clubs this week dropping and our MLS box to box. We'll have another one of those. So along with our This Just In foundational and news and dubs, adding those four consistently to the podcast schedule.
All right. Excellent. Well, hope you enjoyed that, everyone. We're back probably tomorrow. Some of us will be. With the MLS box-to-box and, of course, Montreal three questions. Wednesday, I believe, is TFC and Vancouver. And Wednesday, of course, the foundational show as well. So until then, cheers for listening. Bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Good pod. Well done, lads.
Good show, lads. Good show.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.